Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's press call on Brett Kavanaugh. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, you will have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. Please note this call may be recorded. I will be standing by should you need any assistance. It is now my pleasure to turn today's conference over to Alan Brookes LaSure. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks so much, Catherine, and good evening, everyone. This is Alan Brookes LaSure, Executive Vice President for Communications at the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights. Welcome, and thank you for joining us for this press briefing on the civil rights implications of President Trump's nomination of Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. We are joined on this call by Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference, Nan Arin, President of Alliance for Justice, Michael Keegan, President of People for the American Way, Fatima Goss Graves, President and CEO of the National Women's Law Center, Curtis L. Decker, Executive Director of the National Disability Rights Network, Sherilyn Eisel, President and Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, Mary Kay Henry, President of Service Employees International Union, SEIU, Dana Singheiser, Vice President of Public Policy and Government Affairs of Planned Parenthood Federation of America, Chris Kang, Chief Counsel with Demand Justice, Miguel Rodriguez, Senior Vice President for Government Affairs at Center for American Progress, and Sarah Warbelow, Legal Director of Human Rights Campaign. We'll hear from each speaker, followed by a moderated Q&A session. Now, I'd like to turn it over to Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference.
Good evening, and thank you. Vinita Gupta, President and CEO of the Leadership Conference on Civil and Human Rights, a coalition of more than 200 national organizations working to build an America as good as its ideals. President Trump has shown his hostility to our fundamental civil and human rights, and it is clear that this informs who he appoints to serve on the Supreme Court. The stakes of this vacancy are enormously high. During his political campaign, Trump bragged that he would only pick justices who would overturn Roe versus Wade and undermine the Affordable Care Act, and tonight he made good on that promise. The president nominated Judge Brett Kavanaugh to fill the Supreme Court vacancy. It's a nominee who was chosen and vetted by the ultra-conservative Heritage Foundation and Federalist Society. We know he satisfies Trump's litmus test as a person who, if confirmed, would take away women's control over their own bodies and sabotage accessible health coverage for millions of people, disproportionately impacting women, people of color, people with disabilities, and low-income families. Access to health care is a civil and human rights issue of profound importance. Kavanaugh's narrow vision of America is at odds with our country's highest ideals of justice and fairness. In a case challenging the Affordable Care Act, Kavanaugh wrote that a dissenting opinion that would have kept alive a frivolous attack on health care. Millions of people with pre-existing conditions might lose their protections with him on the Supreme Court. He has consistently ruled for the wealthy and powerful over the rights of workers, consumers, and women seeking access to health care. Kavanaugh also believes that the president is above the law, and he wouldn't be a check on Trump's abuse of power. He's written that the president should have, quote, absolute discretion to determine whether and when to appoint or fire special counsels like Robert Mueller. And he has said that a sitting president should not be able to face criminal indictment no matter what evidence of wrongdoing is uncovered. This is not just about one Supreme Court nominee, and it isn't about the future of the court itself. It is about the future of our nation. We already know how dangerous and consequential one of Trump's previous members of the shortlist has been. Trump plucked Justice Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court seat that Senator Mitch McConnell held open through his use of unprecedented and irresponsible tactics. This past term, Gorsuch was the fifth and deciding vote to diminish collective bargaining rights, women's access to health care, fair elections, and voting rights. Gorsuch showed that he is willing to discard established precedent and even disregard intentional racial discrimination. Kavanaugh is no more fair-minded than Gorsuch. He would advance Trump's ideological and anti-civil and human rights agenda and not serve as a necessary check on the executive branch. He would favor the wealthy and powerful over the rights of all. And before equal justice under law becomes mere words engraved over the Supreme Court, senators must put country over party and refuse to confirm Kavanaugh to the highest court in the land. Anything less would allow Trump to take over the Supreme Court for a generation and roll back our civil and human rights for years to come. Thank you.
Thank you, Vinita. Now we will turn the call over to Nan Arin, President of Alliance for Justice.
Thank you very much. I'm so honored to join all of these great leaders tonight to talk about the future of our Supreme Court. Tonight, we heard Donald Trump has nominated Brett Kavanaugh for the Supreme Court. And we at Alliance for Justice know Brett Kavanaugh very well. We studied his record when he was up for consideration to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals and had to oppose him. Now, nearly 300 decisions later, he's shown us who he is, and we will oppose his nomination to the High Court. In addition to depriving millions of people to health care and abortion, Brett Kavanaugh has established a record that shows his lack of commitment to consumer protections, workers' rights, clean air and water, and the fundamental principle that no president is above the law. His confirmation would definitely shift the balance of the court and turn the clock back on our rights and liberties for the next generation. And so tonight can be one of two things. It can be the night that sets in motion a hard right turn for our country that may be irreversible in our lifetimes. Or it can be the first night of a successful movement to push back against the forces that want to strip away health care, women's reproductive rights, and so many hard-won rights and liberties. I believe tonight is the first night of a successful campaign to stop Brett Kavanaugh from joining the Supreme Court, because too many people in America know how high the stakes are for the court and our future. I've been working in this field for a while, and I can say that tonight the stakes for our democracy are as high as they have ever been, if not higher. I can also say that it's at times like this that people come together. Remember the fight against the nomination of Robert Bork. People said we couldn't beat him, but we did. And instead of a Bork legacy on the Supreme Court, we got the Anthony Kennedy legacy. And that has made a critical difference in the lives of millions of people. It happened because people of conscience stood up and said, we will not accept Robert Bork's vision for America. And tonight, we will not accept Donald Trump's vision of America or his plan for the court. We will not accept a vision of America in which women and people of color and LGBTQ Americans and people with disabilities and workers and immigrants and people of all faiths do not enjoy full participation in our society and full and equal rights. We know this fight will be hard, but it's a fight we can win because the values of this country are on our side. I'd invite all of you to please visit our website at afj.org for background information and our ongoing research as this fight goes forward. Thank you very much.
Great. Thank you so much, Nan. We'll now hear from Michael Keegan, President of People for the American Way. Michael?
Thank you so much for having me. Donald Trump was very clear about what he was looking for in a Supreme Court nominee, and Brett Kavanaugh completely fills the bill. Make no mistake, Judge Kavanaugh wasn't chosen because of his experience or some interesting or compelling life story. He was chosen as payback to right-wing activists who spent decades working to take over the Supreme Court to push their own extreme agenda. Judge Kavanaugh's record on the D.C. Circuit has made clear that he's an outlier, even among the most conservative colleagues that he has there. He's dissented more than any other judge on that court. His rulings provide ample evidence that he would not hesitate to gut Roe v. Wade or dismantle the Affordable Care Act. And his writings raise serious concerns about whether he would be an independent check on the presidential abuse of power. Confirming Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court would roll back the clock on rulings that protect women, people of color, workers, and the LGBT community. We've already seen far too many rulings designed to protect the interests of corporations and the wealthy above the rights of all Americans. And giving a narrow-minded elitist like Judge Kavanaugh a lifetime seat on the Supreme Court would open the floodgate to more and worse. No senator who cares about protecting equality and justice can or should support Brett Kavanaugh. In fact, no senator concerned about our court being radically reshaped can vote to confirm this nominee. We're going to work with PFAW's 1.5 million members and activists across the country to make sure that Americans understand exactly what's at stake in this fight and why it's so critical that the Senate refuse to confirm Brett Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. That means in collaboration with allies, we're going to be organizing on the ground and online in key states to make sure that senators, Republican and Democrat alike, understand that that Americans do not want a narrow-minded elitist on the bench in a lifetime appointment, somebody who's going to be deciding the deciding vote for a generation on some of the most important issues that Americans care most about. In the coming weeks, we're going to continue to make sure that voters know exactly what's at stake and exactly what Justice Brett Kavanaugh would mean for their rights. Thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Next, we'll hear from Fatima Goss-Graves, President and CEO of the National Women's Law Center.
Thank you. My name is Fatima Goss-Graves, and I'm President and CEO of the National Women's Law Center. We've been fighting for the rights of women and girls for more than 45 years, and I can say without a doubt that the stakes haven't been higher. I'm just going to remind us all that it was Judge Kavanaugh who voted to allow religious beliefs to override an individual's right to insurance coverage of birth control. And it was Judge Kavanaugh that issued a ruling to allow the government to continue blocking a young immigrant woman from accessing abortion care. And it's no small matter that it was after that decision that his name first appeared on President Trump's list of potential Supreme Court nominees, which takes me to the entire nominations process, which was really tainted from the start. Trump began by making clear that he would only appoint judges who would overturn Roe and dismantle the Affordable Care Act, and he allowed the anti-abortion and anti-ACA groups to assemble a short list to choose from, virtually guaranteeing that his picks would meet this outrageous litmus test. Too much really is at stake for the Senate to just allow this nominee to go through. With this nomination, women's freedoms to make decisions about our own bodies are at stake. Cases challenging Roe are working their way through the lower courts at this very moment, and over 20 states are poised to immediately seek to ban abortion if Roe is overturned. And the Affordable Care Act is on the line. If the court guts key parts of the Affordable Care Act, we could once again go back to the days where insurance companies could discriminate against people with pre-existing conditions, where being a woman was once considered a pre-existing condition, back to the days when having a C-section or even receiving treatment for rape was considered a pre-existing condition. What we need is a nominee who will affirm that the Constitution protects the dignity and equality of all persons, a nominee who affirms that the Constitution protects individual liberty and the rights of all people to make personal decisions about their bodies, about their personal relationships, including the right to use contraception and have an abortion and the freedom to marry who they choose. We must take President Trump at his word, and every senator should too. The Senate must reject Judge Kavanaugh's nomination to the Supreme Court. Women's equality, their dignity, their health, and even their lives are on the line. Thank you.
Thank you, Fatima. Now we'll hear from Curtis L. Decker, Executive Director of the National Disability Rights Network. Kurt, are you there? If not, next we'll move.
This is Kurt Decker with the National Disability Rights Network. We are the legal arm of the disability community. I join my colleagues, as does the rest of the disability community, to express our concerns about this nominee. I think many people forget that this most vulnerable population in our country is completely dependent on a series of federal statutes and programs that assure the fact that people with disabilities can live full quality lives in an integrated way in our country. It is so starting with the Americans with Disabilities Act, the education of students with disabilities, the Fair Housing Act, the Air Carrier Access Act, and the Affordable Care Act, which was the last piece of protections for people with disabilities, especially around banning discrimination based on pre-existing conditions, all are the underpinnings and safety net of this very vulnerable population. We need a judge on the Supreme Court who will understand the role of the federal government in protecting this vulnerable population, making sure there's a constitutional base for these statutes. And also the Congress has an obligation and a responsibility and authority to provide these kinds of needed services to this very vulnerable population. All of these programs have experienced attacks over the years in the courts as to whether they are valid exercise of congressional power and whether they're supported by the Constitution. And there's no reason to think that these very precious, important programs would also, again, be under attack in the next several years. Having a judge on the court who does not understand the need for the federal government and the Constitution to protect this very vulnerable population is of grave concern to the disability community. Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Curtis. Next, we'll hear from Sherilyn Eiffel, President and Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund.
Good evening. This is Sherilyn Eiffel. I'm the President and Director Counsel of the NAACP Legal Defense and Educational Fund, an entirely separate organization from the NAACP, founded in 1940 by Thurgood Marshall, who later went on to become the nation's first African-American Supreme Court justice. We have been litigating racial discrimination cases in the Supreme Court since the 1940s, and so we understand deeply what is at stake at this moment in our country. What we saw tonight was the attempt to normalize an abnormal process. We saw the president greet a new nominee with his family and introduce him to the American public as though this were a normal process involving a vacancy on the Supreme Court and the president nominating a replacement for that vacancy. But it is not normal. This president, the president of the United States, is besieged by criminal investigations that reach into the highest levels of his campaign for the presidency and that involve allegations of collusion or involvement, improper involvement with Russia. That investigation is ongoing. We do not know what the result of that investigation will be, and we do not know how close it will come to the president of the United States. The president has also outsourced his selection process for the Supreme Court to an organization known for its litmus test of potential Supreme Court nominees, the Federalist Society. And that organization prepared for the president a list of 25 potential nominees for the president to choose from. This is also abnormal. This process is one given constitutionally to the president and by the advice and consent of Congress. It is not, in accordance with the Constitution, outsourced to an independent ideological organization, but that is what President Trump has done. And when we put those two things together, the fact that the president is besieged by investigations that surround his campaign, and the fact that he has outsourced this to an outside organization, and that the president went through the list of nominees from that organization and selected one whose writings suggest that he regards the president as being immune, or that the president should be immune from indictment, from criminal prosecution, from even civil litigation while he sits as president. The taint surrounding this selection could not be more noxious. This is not a normal situation. We are 3 months out from an election, from a midterm election. We have a president immersed in this kind of investigation at a time when the country is deeply divided. This nomination should not go forward at this time. There should be no vote and no process this year. There should be no vote and no process, frankly, until the Mueller investigation is completed and the American public can feel confident that the president is not the subject of that investigation or will not be implicated by that investigation. Should the Senate decide to go forward with this process, Brett Kavanaugh should be rigorously examined. Among all the nominees, the potential nominees discussed over the past 2 weeks, he alone stands out for the statements he has made in his writing about the immunization of the president from criminal prosecution while in office. We need to know that the next Supreme Court justice will be independent of the president and will uphold the highest ideals and traditions of an impartial judiciary. The person who takes this seat will sit on the Supreme Court precisely as questions come to that court about the president's power. This president has already floated the idea of believing that he can pardon himself. The ultimate question and how that will be answered will sit with the United States Supreme Court. And so Brett Kavanaugh, given his writings, given his record on the D.C. Circuit in matters that involve the women's rights to choose, a women's right to choose, involve the power of the and the independence of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, involve the striking down of EPA regulations in case after case, involve a challenging record as it relates to matters of civil rights and vulnerable communities, should be rigorously examined by the Senate, by the Democrats, and by the Republicans. The stakes are too high. This moment is not a normal moment, and we should not treat it like one. We fully expect that the Senate should do their responsibility as they are required to under the Constitution to delay this vote until we can rigorously examine this nominee and do their job and refuse to confirm any nominee who cannot uphold the highest ideals of the Supreme Court of the United States. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherilyn. Now we'll hear from Mary Kay Henry, president of SEIU.
Thank you. Tens of millions of working people are proud to stand with the national leaders on this call who represent the overwhelming majority of the American people, who know that we need a fair-minded justice, who understands that the law should provide everyone with a level playing field and believes that everyone is created equal. Judge Kavanaugh is not that person. Judge Kavanaugh would turn the Supreme Court into a weapon against working people and into a venue just for the wealthy and powerful. The court is closely divided, and if this narrow-minded extremist is confirmed, he will chip away at working people's rights in the workplace, at all of our rights in the doctor's office, in ballot box, in our bedrooms and living rooms and front porches. Judge Kavanaugh could decide to take away the incredibly important things that other leaders in front of me have described: healthcare, voting rights, union rights, women's reproductive health, human rights for immigrants and the LGBTQ community, clean air to breathe and clean water to drink. I want to talk about how important the court is to wages and preserving the white rights of working people to join unions, no matter who we are or what kind of job we do. In just the last few weeks, the Supreme Court has attacked working people's rights in the Janus case. Judge Kavanaugh would continue this trend. He has sided time and again with employers against working people. He upheld the Department of Defense regulations that stripped collective bargaining rights from thousands of employees. He has also criticized protecting workers from dangerous conditions by criticizing their rules as paternalistic. For all of these reasons, and the reasons that we stand in solidarity with that have been expressed on this call and that you will hear, SEIU members and working people are going to be out in force, flooding phone lines of our senators, knocking on doors in key states, and holding any senator accountable who wants to vote on the wrong side of history. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Kay. Next, we'll hear from Dana Singizer, Vice President of Public Policy and Government Affairs of Planned Parenthood Federation of America.
Great. Thank you, Alan, and thanks very much to my colleagues on the line. I'll get straight to the point. Planned Parenthood is unambiguously opposed to the nomination of Brett Kavanaugh. We already know how he would vote when it comes to upholding the precedent of Roe v. Wade because Donald Trump told us. From the beginning, Donald Trump has made his litmus test for this appointee clear. They must, in his words, automatically overturn Roe v. Wade. Kavanaugh has been vetted by and is an active contributor to the Federalist Society, a conservative legal association that does not believe a woman has the constitutional right to access abortion safely and legally in this country. He has already ruled to restrict access to safe legal abortion. Just last year, he used his judicial power to try to prevent a young undocumented woman in U.S. custody from accessing the safe legal abortion she wanted. Kavanaugh would have allowed the government to delay the young woman's abortion by more than 1 month, pushing her into the second trimester. Fortunately, the full court on which he sits intervened and allowed the young woman to access the health care she needed. And it's not just the right to access abortion. He's ruled against women's access to birth control. Brett Kavanaugh authored a dissenting opinion in the D.C. Circuit's 2015 ruling on the Affordable Care Act's birth control benefit, writing that he believed that bosses had the right to impose their own personal beliefs and deny their employees birth control coverage. It's clear he cannot be trusted to uphold Roe v. Wade or the other precedent that holds the Constitution affords every person the individual liberty to make decisions about their bodies and their relationships, and that includes the right to use contraception and to have an abortion. The right to access abortion safely and legally in this country is clearly on the line, and we know that Kavanaugh will not respect women's rights and futures. During past Senate hearings, we've heard nominees answer fundamental questions by making vague statements about respecting precedent, stare decisis, and settled law, and then turn around and rule in ways that ignored precedent and would have eviscerated our fundamental rights. Clearly, the stakes are too high for vague answers about precedent to be acceptable. We need to know that we will have a nominee who will respect our personal liberty, the rights of every person to make decisions about their bodies and their relationships. We are calling for the personal liberty standard, that the Senate must reject any nominee who refuses to affirmatively declare that the Constitution protects our individual liberty and the right of all people to make personal decisions about their bodies and personal relationships, including the right to use contraception and to have an abortion. The American people are with us. More than 70% of Americans support access to abortion. 1 in 4 women in this country will have an abortion. It is normal, safe health care that has been constitutionally protected for 45 years. That's why we will be mobilizing all 11 million plus of our supporters. We know that millions of people will join us to protect these fundamental rights, standing arm in arm with Planned Parenthood. We refuse to live in an America where our children and grandchildren have fewer rights than we have today. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Dana. Next, we'll hear from Chris Kang, Chief Counsel with Demand Justice. Chris, are you with us? Instead, we'll go.
I think one of the questions that often comes up is where the votes are going to be and whether or not this is a fight that the Democrats can win. And the one thing that I want to make sure to emphasize is that, as Dana just said, on the issues that are important and they're going to be the main issues that are fought here, that's where we have a majority of the American people and the majority of the United States Senate. The American people, by a margin of 2-1, do not want the Supreme Court to overturn Roe versus Wade. And by a margin of 2-1, they oppose President Trump's recent attempts to litigate the constitutionality of the Affordable Care Act to take away health care from people with pre-existing conditions. That's where there's a majority of the senators who can defeat this nominee. And I think that that's why Mitch McConnell warned President Trump against picking Brett Kavanaugh. And yet President Trump is picking this fight. He's picked somebody who's criticized Chief Justice Roberts for upholding the Affordable Care Act and praised then Justice Rehnquist's dissent in Roe versus Wade. Brett Kavanaugh has a clear record that he believes that the president is above the law. And I think one of the most important things we're going to have to look for is that the full extent of Kavanaugh's views on executive power are hidden behind more than a million documents from his time at the White House. There is no way that this Senate can proceed to a hearing and certainly not to a vote until those documents are fully disclosed to the United States Senate and to the American people so we understand what his role has been in the White House. It already has been reported that Senators Durbin and Leahy believe that Brett Kavanaugh misled the Senate in 2006, and now it's time for them to be able to hold him accountable. He can't hide behind a lifetime confirmation anymore. He has to explain himself and whether or not he truly was and can be honest, and his testimony can be viewed credibly. In issue after issue, you've heard a number of them here today. I think it's also worth noting that Brett Kavanaugh opposes net neutrality. He opposes the constitutionality of the Consumer Bureau. He said that assault weapon bans are constitutional or unconstitutional. In issue after issue, he's been on the wrong side. Demand Justice already is up with the website, stopkavanaugh.com, and we're already up with ads that highlight how Trump's shortlisters' antagonism toward the ACA and protections for Americans with pre-existing conditions are front and foremost in this fight, and how Brett Kavanaugh is the nominee that embodies that list. ads are going to start running in Maine and Alaska and Washington, D.C. later this week. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Chris. Next, we'll hear from Miguel Rodriguez, Senior Vice President for Government Affairs with the Center for American Progress.
Thank you, Alan, and thanks to all my colleagues and counterparts on the call. Let me just say you can't overstate what's at stake with the President's nomination of Judge Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. To say that the health and well-being of millions of Americans is at stake is not an overstatement. Over the course of his 18 months in office, President Trump has made it one of his top priorities to strip the American people of the health care protections made available to them by the Affordable Care Act. He has sought to sabotage the ACA legislatively through regulation and via the courts. These efforts have been purposeful and harmful, threatening those Americans but for the ACA would go without life-saving care they need. Cases that are currently working their way through the lower courts will determine the fate of the ACA. Those cases could someday soon find their way before the Supreme Court. And who do we want deciding those cases? Certainly not Judge Kavanaugh. Recall that President Trump was quick to say Chief Justice Roberts, a liberal by no one's standards, is, quote, an absolute disaster, close quote, for voting to uphold the ACA. The president has further said that his judicial appointments, quote, will do the right thing, unlike Bush's appointee John Roberts on Obamacare, close quote. Are we to believe that President Trump, key of litmus tests and demands of loyalty, didn't extract from Judge Kavanaugh a commitment to help him secure one of his top priorities, the elimination of the Affordable Care Act? Again, as many have said on this call, we've got to take President Trump at his word. And if that's the case, then the Senate should reject the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh. As has been noted, of course, safeguarding the ACA is only one front in this fight. President Trump made it abundantly clear during the 2016 presidential campaign that he has a litmus test for any nominee to the court. He or she must, quote, be a pro-life judge, close quote, who is prepared to overturn Roe v. Wade. By all accounts, the president's list of 25 pre-approved candidates for the Supreme Court, a list constructed and vetted by the Federalist Society and the Heritage Foundation, is exclusively made up of jurists who would overturn Roe v. Wade and undermine personal liberty of all women to make decisions about their own bodies. Having staked out that ground, what should we make of anyone nominated by President Trump? There's this ongoing charade by the president and his administration in an attempt to walk back his Roe litmus test. But let me ask you, when has President Trump ever conceded that he misspoke on a previous occasion? Again, we should take him at his word, and the Kavanaugh nomination should be rejected. One other issue that's worth noting, and it's been noted here by others, is at a time when Republicans are twisting themselves into knots over the administration's dehumanizing treatment of minor children at the border, Judge Kavanaugh's nomination doubles down on the administration's gross inhumanity. As was noted in the now famous Jane Doe case, Judge Kavanaugh tried to block an undocumented minor in government custody from exercising her constitutionally protected right to an abortion. The air we breathe, the water we drink, the fairness of our elections, the freedoms we enjoy, the country we are leaving our children, all of these things are at stake with this nomination. Given who made the nomination, I think there's a lot to account for. The same old rhetoric that has been enabled Supreme Court nominees to skate through the confirmation process won't and shouldn't cut it this time. Because based on the president's own words, the process employed, the litmus test applied, the nomination of Judge Kavanaugh to this court should be rejected.
Great. Thank you so much, Miguel. Finally, we'll hear from Sarah Warbelow, legal director with the Human Rights Campaign.
Thank you. The Human Rights Campaign is America's largest LGBTQ civil rights organization, representing more than 3 million members and supporters nationwide. Donald Trump's nomination of Brett Kavanaugh is irresponsible and dangerous. If confirmed, he will undermine LGBTQ equality, reproductive rights, and the Affordable Care Act. This is not the fair-minded constitutionalist worthy of replacing Justice Kennedy. The next Supreme Court justice will shape civil and constitutional rights jurisprudence in this country for decades to come. In the coming years, the Supreme Court will be asked to decide critical issues for the LGBTQ community, including whether our nation's non-discrimination laws include protections for LGBTQ people, as many lower courts have already concluded, whether individuals and organizations have a license to discriminate against LGBTQ people when receiving taxpayer dollars to provide critical services. Whether LGBTQ people and families can be turned away from businesses open to the general public, and whether qualified transgender people can be excluded from serving in the military simply because of who they are. We don't need to guess where Brett Kavanaugh will stand on these issues. He was pre-cleared by anti-LGBTQ organizations who are already celebrating his nomination. The Senate needs to exercise its constitutional responsibility and reject this nominee.
Great. Thank you so much, Sarah. We'll now open it up for questions. Operator, please provide instructions. And for reporters, we would ask that you please note to whom your question is specifically directed. Thank you.
At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone telephone. You may withdraw your question at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, to ask a question, please press star and one on your touchtone telephone, and we will pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And we appreciate your patience, and we will take our first question momentarily. And we will go ahead and take that first question from Sandia Ramon with CQ Roll Call. Your line is now open.
Hi there. My question is for Dana and kind of what kinds of things that Planned Parenthood is planning to do to kind of go against the nominee, especially since he opposes abortion. Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Sandia, for that question. We are going to start by making sure there are events in all 50 states by the end of this week to make it clear that the American people will not stand for a justice who is determined to overturn Roe v. Wade. We will also make it clear that Roe v. Wade is highly popular. Access to abortion is supported by a majority of the American people, not just Democrats, not just independents, but even a majority of Republicans. We will be running state-level campaigns, earned media campaigns, paid campaigns. Our 11 million supporters are out there ready to fight this nomination, and we intend to win it.
Thanks.
Next question, please.
And we will take our next question from Aaron Wack with AP. Your line is now open.
Yes, thanks so much, you guys, for having this call. My question is for Director Eiffel. You talked about the NAACP Legal Defense Fund litigating racial discrimination cases since the 1940s. I'm wondering if you can elaborate on specifically what issues there are along the lines of what an organization like yours has fought for that you see potentially threatened by a Justice Kavanaugh should he be confirmed.
Thank you so much. We should remember that Justice Kennedy, interestingly, was not 100% reliable vote for many of the civil rights issues that we litigated. But his vote was always in play, which is really all we can ask for. We're not asking for a nominee who necessarily will line up with our views in every case, but we want a chance to be able to convince that nominee. And so while Justice Kennedy, issued and went with some decisions that we disagree with, including during the last term of this court, the Muslim ban, the Janus decision, and others, he also is the person who salvaged affirmative action and upheld the continuing use of race in college admissions. He's the person who salvaged and saved the disparate impact standard under the Fair Housing Act. He's the author of the decision Brown versus Plata that so eloquently talked about prison conditions in California and even included photographs of such an unusual thing to do in a Supreme Court decision to dramatize the overcrowding in California prisons. These are all issues that are likely to come back before the Supreme Court. Affirmative action is once again being litigated, pressed by the same right-wing ideologues who brought the Fisher case to the Supreme Court. They're now challenging Harvard's affirmative action policies. This issue may make its way back to the Supreme Court. The disparate impact standard under the Fair Housing Act and other civil rights statutes has been in the crosshairs of the Federalist Society and other right-wing organizations for many, many years, and we fully expect those issues to come back for the Supreme, to the Supreme Court. The Voting Rights Act, an important part of the Voting Rights Act, was gutted in part because of Justice Kennedy's failure and his ruling with the 5-4 majority in the Shelby County versus Holder case in 2013. But there are other voting rights issues that will make their way back to the Supreme Court. We may see partisan gerrymandering return, racial gerrymandering return, and issues involving Section 2 of the Voting Rights Act. There are a whole range of criminal justice issues that regularly come before the Supreme Court, including the death penalty. And Justice Kennedy, while not an opponent to the death penalty, had been a voice for limiting the conditions in which the death penalty could be used by the state. These are all issues that LDF litigates vigorously and regularly that have the possibility of making their way back to the Supreme Court, and in which the vote of Judge Kavanaugh, should he be confirmed, will be a decisive vote. And based on what we've seen of his record, we have no reason to believe that his vote will be one that will be consistent with the standards of equality and justice that we believe is necessary in those cases.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question, please.
And once again, in order to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touch-tone telephone. And we will take our next question from Trudy Ring with The Advocate. Your line is now open.
Hi. I guess I will direct this to Sarah Warbelow, but anyone else who wants to jump in. If Judge Kavanaugh's nomination is defeated, I mean, I don't want to be, you know, Miss Gloom and Doom here, but wouldn't Trump nominate just someone equally bad? And, you know, what are we to do over the long term? Or is that, you know, just getting too far ahead of myself?
Sure. You know, certainly the president would never nominate someone like Justice Ginsburg. That is clear. But, you know, typically what happens when a president's nominee is defeated, the president does come back and has to present a more reasonable choice. And any justice who, or potential justice who is not on that list of individuals who have been pre-vetted, pre-cleared, have passed this litmus test of being opposed to Roe, wanting to undermine the Affordable Care Act, showing hostility to rights for LGBTQ people, individuals with disabilities, communities of color, would be a marked improvement from where we are at this moment.
Okay, thank you.
This is Anita Gupta from the Leadership Conference. This fight to keep Kavanaugh off of the court, because of everything that he represents and that we know he will do on the court, is energizing progressive voters who are going to show up at the midterms and demonstrate their power. And certainly, you know, the composition of the Senate could change, and that could entirely change this whole process. So just that's another alternative that is certainly a possibility.
Okay, thanks very much.
Next question, please.
And just an additional reminder to hit the star and one on your touch-tone telephone if you would like to ask a question. And we will take our next question from Clint Confair with the Tennessee Tribune. Your line is now open.
Thank you. I'd like to poll all of the speakers with a request for a yes or no response. In your opinion, is President Trump trying to protect himself from the special prosecutor with this nomination? That is, that the president is above the law conversation that we've heard. Vanita?
Well, as I have just tweeted, I think it's no wonder that President Trump has nominated Kavanaugh to the Supreme Court. This court is going to be deciding in short order whether the president is compelled to testify before a federal grand jury, whether he can be subpoenaed. It will ultimately decide whether the president, his family, or his aides can be held accountable by the special counsel. And so to your question, I would say that it's really no wonder that he was the selected choice.
I take that as a yes. Nan?
Hi, I would agree with Vanita. I would say that certainly Kavanaugh's personal writings raise concern that he would allow Donald Trump's abuses of power to go unchecked.
Mr. Kagan?
Yes, and I would add that I think this is another reason why these hearings and this vote should not take place until after the Mueller investigation is completed.
Ms. Graves?
I fully agree with my colleagues that this is exactly one of the many reasons why these hearings and this entire process should be delayed.
Curtis?
Yes, I would agree as well, especially since he was added to that list rather late in the process.
Ms. Eiffel?
It doesn't matter. The Supreme Court said in the 1920s that justice must satisfy the appearance of justice. The mere fact that this looks as though the president is trying to select his own jury on the Supreme Court taints the process, taints this nomination, and taints this candidate. This nomination should not go forward.
It doesn't matter. Very well. Mrs. Henry.
I agree with my sister, Sherilyn Eiffel. It doesn't matter. And working people across this country want a court that's fair-minded and that treats people equally.
Ms. Singer? Singister?
Sure. I'll let others speak to the substance of your question. At Planned Parenthood, we are focused on protecting access to safe legal abortion.
Very well. Mr. Kang?
Yeah, I think there's no question that that's one of the many motivating factors, but I think that it's right up there with President Trump's desire to take away health care, which he's unable to do in Congress, and to overturn Roe versus Wade, as he repeatedly said on the campaign.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Yeah, sorry, I thought I was on mute. No, I agree with Chris. It's one of many benefits to the presidency's of the Kavanaugh nomination to go along with his ability to gut the ACA and eliminate the protections of Roe v. Wade.
And Ms. Warbelow.
It's a very serious concern that must be explored thoroughly by the Senate.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you so much, Catherine. And now we'll take the final question.
In that case, our next question will come from Angela Chen with Bustle. Your line is now open.
Hey there. This question is really for anyone who may have any insight. What do you think with this Senate are the chances of Kavanaugh being confirmed? And the question's not geared toward anyone, just anyone who may have any insight or any strong thoughts on this.
I'll just say, this is Vanita Gupta from the Leadership Conference. A majority of senators support affordable access to health care and upholding the Affordable Care Act, as well as a woman's right to choose what she does with her own body and abortion. And so I think that is clear, and that is precisely, like, these are some of the issues precisely most at stake right now.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Dana Singizer at Planned Parenthood. I would just reiterate that our plan is to block this nomination in coalition with our good friends on the call. We believe that he has significantly troubling holdings that indicate he would make Roe v. Wade a thing of the past and abortion illegal, and we think the American people will not stand for it.
Great. Thank you so much. And thank you all for joining us for the call today. If you have any additional questions, please direct them to press@civilrights.org. Thank you again for your time. Good evening.